ladies. I'm so happy to be here with you. As Meg said, I'm Christina Galloway. I am so excited to be here. Up on the screen will be a picture of my family. That is my husband, John. We have been married 6 years, and we moved here 2 years ago because of his wonderful job with Smuckers. Next is my daughter, Abby. She is 3, and she lives in a constant Frozen entangled musical. And last is my son, Luke. He just turned 8 months yesterday, and he is my explorer and constant mover. He never stops moving. And the next picture is a picture of my very first car. So when I first started driving, I thought I had driving skills like those of Danica Patrick. I thought I was pretty great. But then I quickly learned that that's not the case. When I was 16, all of a sudden, I was driving down this road, and this giant torrential downpour just unloads over my car. I was suddenly stuck in this monsoon and had no idea what to do. The wind was pushing my car across the lane, and I could feel the water underneath the tires, and I was utterly terrified as I just held onto the wheel. I can't see the cars in front of me anymore, and I can't see the cars beside me. And I'm wondering, do I keep going? Do I stop? Do I pull over? I was just totally overwhelmed. And isn't that how it is in life storms? That they come and they just utterly surround us, and they make us feel terrified and overwhelmed. Maybe for you, it was a phone call from your doctor giving you a diagnosis or a battle with an ongoing disease. Maybe for you, it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it's your spouse and your marriage and you're struggling and you're just not sure that there's hope. Maybe your child is out of control and you are really unsure of what to do next to help them. Maybe it's just another bill in the mail that you know you don't have the finances to pay. Or perhaps for you, it's this constant cloud of depression and anxiety that hangs over your head, and you aren't sure how to move through your days. This life is hard, and the emotions that come from these storms in our lives are so difficult to deal with. As we look through Psalm 42, if you'd open up your Bibles and turn there with me, we will see the ache of a hurting soul and all the emotions that come with it. In this psalm, we will see that life is hard, but our first response needs to be to pour out our soul to the Lord. This psalm was written about the circumstances surrounding King David's life, and it begins, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" The psalmist is describing his ache and desire, his desperate need to be near God. His soul is desperate for God, just like one might be desperate for water in a dry desert. He goes on to say, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" Have you ever been so consumed by grief that your stomach is in knots and you just can't eat? That's what's being described here, just this heaviness. And all around him, they look and they see his life and they think that it looks so bad that it looks like his God has abandoned him as they ask him, "Where is your God in all of this?" And then in verse 4, it says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." Our psalmist is longing to be near the Lord at his temple because at this time, that's where God's presence was. He remembers worshiping with others in the temple, but he is far from that place. Have you ever longed to be in a place with the Lord that you were once before? And then this sweet verse that keeps getting repeated, it says, verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" That word soul there in Hebrew is the word nefesh. And it doesn't just mean the emotions and feelings. It actually means his whole being, his body as well. He's saying his soul, his emotions are in turmoil, but that his whole body is being cast down. That cast down is actually translated prostrated, humbled, or bowed down. What he's saying is that he is in a posture of utter brokenness and humility before the Lord, bowed before him as he pours out his soul. And then in verse 9, it says, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" We see our psalmist ask God questions as he struggles with his grief. God wants us to bring him our questions. It's okay to ask God our questions. A common question that's asked when bad things are happening is, why is God allowing this to happen? And let me just say that from the beginning, God created everything perfect. He said, it is good. But Adam and Eve, when they rebelled against God, they brought sin into the world, and it has wreaked havoc on every creature and created thing. Sin unleashed both this moral and natural evil, and both break God's heart. We see that all sources of brokenness and pain come from sin. No matter the source of our sorrow and brokenness, though, we are beckoned to do just as our psalmist says and pour out our soul to the Lord. He wants us surrendered to him. Our feelings are not too much for God. 2 years ago when we moved here, we found out very quickly that we were pregnant with our second child. And 3 days before Christmas, I had a prenatal appointment scheduled. My husband was on a business trip, and my daughter Abby was with my in-laws. And so what started off as a normal routine appointment quickly turned into the worst day of my life, as my doctor had to tell me that my baby's heart was no longer beating. I remember in that moment thinking, that can't be right. I saw him on an ultrasound just 2 weeks ago, and he was growing and his heart was beating. I remember going home in confusion and numbness, and I called my husband to let him know what was going on, and he let me know he couldn't be home for another day. And I put my daughter to bed, and finally I went into my room, and I did just as the psalmist said. I got on my knees, and I sobbed before the Lord. My tears became my food. In these sobs that racked my body, I didn't have any discernible words, and there the Holy Spirit just had to speak for me. And then I finally asked God my questions. Why am I still so sick? Is this my fault? Was our baby a boy or a girl? What are we gonna do about Christmas? And is there any chance that they're wrong? I brought all of my questions and worries to the Lord as I wept in brokenness at my Maker's feet. Alone and in a new place, I had the opportunity to bring all of my soul to the Lord and to see that he was really able to comfort me in ways that I had never known before. He was so faithful to meet me in that place. In this life, we all have or will experience sorrow and pain and storms. The worst part of all of this is that life is hard. But the best part is that we see in our psalm that we can pour it all out to the Lord and that he hears us. How do you handle these moments when they come? Do you avoid the pain or numb yourself? Or do you run to the Lord and pour your soul out to him? In the midst of our busy lives, we don't often take time to process what we're feeling. Whether we're in storms, feeling hurt, sadness, grief, or whether we're in seasons of celebration and experiencing feelings of joy and gratitude. I want to take a few minutes now to invite you in your seats to take some time to practice pouring out your soul to the Lord. You can write, pray, think. You can even get into that position of humility before the Lord. Bring all of your emotions to him, whatever you might be feeling. You can think back to a storm that you might have had or a storm that you might currently be in. And if you are in that season of celebration, sit in whatever emotions you are feeling. Or you might, even in that season, have some fears and anxieties that you want to bring before the Lord. Feelings about your kids or your spouse or your jobs or your family. If you don't yet know the Lord, I want to challenge you to write out what's going on in your life and bring it to the Lord as our psalmist did, as if you thought God was real, as if he was to you as God was to this psalmist. I'll be back up in about 5 minutes and I'll continue. So as you sat here pouring out your soul to the Lord, I hope it made you wonder, but what now? Life is hard, but God, he is our hope. The answer to our hurting souls, the antidote to our pain is found right in this psalm. It is knowing God and remembering that he is our hope in the storm. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The psalmist remembers that his salvation is his hope and it is from God. But what is salvation? Salvation is the deliverance from sin and its consequences. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a prophesied Messiah and Savior that would come, and it was fulfilled through the person and work of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He came and lived a sinless life, willingly went and died a gruesome death on the cross. And then on the third day, he rose again, and he defeated sin and death. He is our salvation because he is the one who delivers us from the consequences of sin and death. When we trust in his sacrifice on the cross, we are given this salvation. The psalmist reminds us that as we remember who God is as our salvation, we can place our hope in him. We are saved from the moment that we trust in Christ. We are being saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will be saved once and for all at the end of time. Let me read you this passage from Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Isn't that amazing? Christ came and he has saved us and delivered us from the consequences of sin and death, but we have a future hope as well, that he is coming back and that he is going to deliver us from the consequences of sin and death forever when he makes this world new. There will be no more brokenness. He promises to be with us. And we look forward to hope in him, but we also can look back at what God has done. All throughout this passage, we see the psalmist give us glimpses of who he remembers God to be. He remembers in verse 2 that God is the living God, not just some far-off God that doesn't care about him. No, the God that we learned about last week that knows us and loves us intimately and wants a relationship with us. He promises to be with us even as we feel like we're drowning in our sorrow. And then in the middle of the psalm, you'll see this break from the normal rhythm. In verse 8, it says, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life." He interjects his confidence in the Lord. He says, the Lord will send forth his steadfast love. And if you were here during our study of 2 Samuel, his hesed, loyal love. This is a loyal love that is unwavering, and it shows his faithfulness and his kindness. He acknowledges in that verse that God is with him both in the day and the night, and that this kind of steadfast, loyal love, that even in the midst of his sorrow, will bring him to song. And then he says a prayer to the God of my life. He lifts up a prayer acknowledging God's sovereignty, his authority over his life. In verse 9, he says, "I say to God, my rock." And this is just a symbol of God's reliability. He is our firm foundation. Rocks were also used in the Old Testament when the Israelites would see God do something that they wanted to remember, and they'd place these rocks in prominent places for them to remember God's faithfulness and what he had done. And we can put these physical markers of what God has done in our own lives to remind us when we are in need of hope and feeling cast down. As we muddle through the emotions that we feel in these storms, we can have a tendency to allow our emotions to control us. And I want to make a distinction here between faith and feelings. We have emotions because we are created in God's image, and he shows his vast array of emotions all throughout scripture. But because of the brokenness of our sin, our emotions are greatly influenced by the fall. Our emotions are corrupted by our sin nature, and we need to be aware that our emotions may not be grounded in truth, but are based in false premises. We might be tempted to give into feelings of fear or despair or anger by falsely believing that God is not in control or that he isn't good. Our emotions are very real, but they are not always reliable. As we experience emotions, we need to be sure to stop and identify what we're feeling and examine the root of those feelings. Is it fear? Is it pride? Is it idolatry? As we begin to spot the lies in what we might be feeling, we can bring those emotions to the Lord and replace them with truth. As we pour out our souls to the Lord, we know that he can handle all of our emotions. He knows all of our thoughts before we even think them. The goal in bringing our souls and all of our emotions to the Lord is that we might go to him to process them, and that we might be able to make strides towards feelings and responses that honor him. As we work through different difficult emotions, we can grow closer to him and we can learn to have faith that who he is bigger than our feelings. On my knees before the Lord, I chose to remember what I knew of who God was and place my hope in him. I recited verses like Philippians 4:4-7, and I thanked the Lord for my daughter Abby, this gift when I was told that I would never have children of my own. I thanked him for bringing me through the dark days of my autoimmune diseases. I poured out my soul to the Lord in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. I went back and remembered scriptures that told me that God's ways are not my ways. I remembered that I could trust God because he is a promise keeper. And I remembered that he is the giver and taker of life and that he alone knits life in my womb. And that all of my baby's days were written in his book before there was ever one. And he gently reminded me that this child was his before he was ever mine. I remembered that God is good even when the world is full of sin and chaos. I sat and remembered the greatest gift I had been given of my salvation and that he loves me with a steadfast love. And I had hope knowing that the pain in this world is not forever and that he is coming back to make all things new. I hoped in God because I knew him and his word. I knew his character and I trusted him. We can only rest in his salvation and find our hope in him if we truly know him. As we spend time digging into God's word and memorizing scripture, we begin to see the character of this God in this love story he's written us. We can rest in who he is and take comfort in knowing that he is with us in all of life's storms. We need to be able to spot the lies of the enemy that we aren't loved or that God isn't good and replace them with truth. As we remember who he is and his character, it helps us break through the roadblock of not trusting him in our storms. As we memorize verses and bind them on our hearts, when we look back and remember God's faithfulness in our lives, we can place our hope in him. When we remember that God is our hope in the storms, we can look up in worship and participate in declaring who he is and bring him praise. All through this psalm, we see references to singing and praising the Lord. Our psalmist reminds us that as we find our hope in God, we can again praise him, our salvation and our God. We can sing songs to him in the night because we remember his steadfast love. Praise just means that we give him thanks and that we show our admiration for him. And I just want to remind you that worship is not just 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. It is so much more than that. We worship God with our whole lives. When we pour out our souls to him in humbled surrender, when we bring our fears and doubts to him, when we remember who he is and what he's done for us, when we give him thanks in the midst of our brokenness, when we tell others about him, and when we sing, all of that is worship. We praise him because we know who he is and what he's done for us. There's the story of King David where he prays for his sick son and asks God to heal him. And the night that we lost our son, I asked the same thing of God, that he would restart our baby's heart. And when David found out that his son had passed away, he went and he cleaned himself up and he went to the house of God and he worshiped. David believed that God could heal his son. And I believe that God could heal mine. And when God in all of his goodness, still chose not to, both David and I worshiped and remembered who God was. My worship was telling others about what God had done in the midst of my pain and his comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding. We named our son Elijah Tobias as worship. His name means the Lord is God, the Lord is good. And I worship the Lord by reciting verses like Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19, where he's just talking about how everything is going wrong, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. I worshiped by singing songs like Thy Will Be Done by Hillary Scott and If You Want Me To by Jenny Owens and I Will Praise You in the Storm by Casting Crowns. We have this amazing gift of worshiping God even in our hardest moments. What does it look like for you to surrender and worship in the midst of the storm? Are you preparing your knowledge of the Lord and growing near to him to be prepared for the next storm that might come into your life? We can give him the praise and glory that he is due by drawing near to him in our suffering and choosing to give him thanks and admiration even as we come to him in tears. We don't have to have all the answers to worship him in our storms. We can offer our worship as a demonstration of faith and knowledge of who he is. Ultimately, we can worship because our hope is not in this world. It is in Christ alone. If you are sitting here and you don't yet know the Lord, please talk to your small group leaders. Come up and talk to one of us. We would love to share with you about this God who loves you and is your salvation and your hope. Life is hard, but God, he is our hope. We can look up and worship by declaring who he is and praise him.